It is 5 p.m. here in the city of Kingston, and this is Today in YGK for Monday, September 9th, 2024. This is Jesse Bell filling in for Christina Lori. Our first story comes courtesy of Christina Lori about the upcoming Open Farm Days event.
Open Farm Days has returned for its second full season after going from a weekend celebration to a full lineup of events lasting from mid-August to the end of September. Open Farm Days offers Kingstonians an opportunity to learn about local agriculture, from tours of local farms to culinary workshops. This summer, the lineup also has an exciting new addition called Gather, bringing together a wide array of local farmers, food producers, and chefs for a farm-to-table experience. Gather was spearheaded by the owner of Bloom Farm, Tara Williamson, and chef and owner of Rampant Kitchen, Elisa Corrigan. On September 14th, they will be hosting a day filled with delicious food, local vendors, and a celebration of community. Visitors will tour 8 different stations offering food and drink pairings with ingredients from different local farms. CFRC sat down with Debbie Miller, an organizer with Open Farm Days, to talk about this year's offerings and get a sneak preview of Gather before sitting down with the event's hosts. This is your only second year doing the longer version of the festival as opposed to just that one weekend. How is the process of filling out the schedule this year?
It's going really well. There's been a lot of enthusiasm and a lot of interest around Open Farm Days. As we've expanded the time frame to allow for more local farms, businesses, and community organizations to be involved, because as we all know, harvest for everything doesn't happen at the same time. So expanding the time frame has really allowed for more participation and opportunities to be involved.
Awesome. Yeah. And what kind of feedback did you get from last year's longer event, and how has it changed your approach to this year?
So we did receive positive feedback about the longer time frame because it allowed other locations to be involved, as I indicated. But it really has expanded the opportunities, also the awareness too for the connections within farming and food in our region it's just an increased awareness across the region, an opportunity for others to make connections and really get to know where your food comes from. And who's preparing your food or producing food for you as well is a really important part around the small-scale agriculture for sure. Thank you.
Yeah, that's awesome. And did you have a lot of new participants this year, or was it a similar number of participants to last year?
There's a similar number. There's a few new locations that are participating and others that, you know, just for different reasons were not able to participate this year. So I would say a fairly similar number. We did focus a lot this year on the farmers markets and really making good connections at the farmers markets, and they're hosting events there as well. So educational events. So again, bringing people to where people already are, bringing events and awareness to those locations, like at the farmers markets, there's tomato tastings or bloom bars or different events like that that are taking place at the 5 farmers markets across our region.
Yeah, so was that a big focus this year, was getting connected with those farmers markets and making sure that Open Farms had a voice there?
Yes, absolutely. And they have been involved in the past, but it was really, how do they also connect? Because as we know, people go to farmers markets for their weekly grocery shopping, products and things like that, picking up their local vegetables and fruit, their baked goods, etc. And just really trying to make sure people were aware across our region that there are 5 amazing farmers markets in our region. So if you aren't able to make a Saturday one, you can make a Sunday one, or you can go Friday night or a different day during the week. So there's lots of opportunities with different times and different locations.
Yeah, that's awesome. And things have already kicked off. What have you heard so far from the community, and how have you been feeling about this year so far?
Thank you for that. And yes, we had the launch event on Friday, August 16th. There was a great turnout there. Lots of community members were out. We had local politicians were out to support the event and support small-scale agriculture in our community. They all helped with the ribbon cutting, which was a corn stalk, which was a pretty fun ribbon cutting. So good positive feedback as we start the event, and lots of interest as people are visiting the website to explore what's happening and what's taking place in the next 6 weeks across our region.
Awesome stuff. Yeah. And just to give us a bit of a preview, this new event, Gather, how did they come into the picture and what's it all about?
So Gather is an event that's being hosted at a farm in Frontenac County with a chef doing the preparation of the food, and they're having different booths around the farm where they can, you know, sample different offerings from different farms as well. So a new event that's taking place. But again, Tara is well-versed in open farm days. She's been involved from the Frontenac Farmers Market perspective, and she is also a farmer. So it's great to have them involved. There's lots of other events taking place as well, culinary events. There's the Donald Gordon Conference Center has a culinary event this weekend on August 24th, and there's the food tours. There's other events taking place, so be sure to check out openfarmdays.ca to see the full list of events taking place.
Once again, that was Debbie Miller sitting down with CFRC to get into this year's Open Farm Days experiences. Next up, we sat down with Gather organizers Tara Williamson and Elisa Corrigan to get deeper into this year's new event taking place at Bloom Farm.
Well, to start us off, would you like to just introduce yourself for our listeners?
Sure. So I am Tara Williamson. I am owner-operator of Bloom Farm in Harrowsmith.
And my name is Elisa Corrigan, and I am chef and owner of Rampant Kitchen, and we're opening a cooking studio just south of Sydenham.
Awesome, yeah. And this is the first time the Gather event is in this Open Farms lineup. I was wondering if you could speak a bit to how this partnership happened between Rampant Kitchen and Bloom Farms, and what people can expect from the event this year.
So I have been a patron of Open Farm Days for a number of years. I think it's a fantastic event, and have sort of always had in the back of my mind that we would do some sort of event at Bloom Farms, but wasn't quite sure what that event would be until one day I tasted Elisa's food, and we didn't really know each other. I knew of her, but I didn't know her. But as soon as I had her food, I said, I need to meet this woman. I need to do an event with her. And Gather was born out of that.
I believe the lore is it was a raspberry Danish.
It was.
Yeah, I've been looking for an excuse to squeak into Open Farms. I moved to the area just over 2 years ago, and every year I've been a visitor of Open Farms and really loved it and loved like the philosophy of it. Like food and sustainable food systems are really important to me. So when Tara messaged me over a Danish, I was like, yep, let's do this. Let's just jump into it.
Yeah, that's awesome. And since you guys experienced this firsthand, I was wondering if you could speak a bit to the importance of the connections that are fostered between local farms and local kitchens by these events like Open Farms.
Sure. So I'm also actually the manager of the Frontenac Farmers Market, so I'm very entwined in both farmers and food in the area. And I think education of where our food comes from and the people growing it is so important. And having people like Elisa and Rampant Kitchen in the area to show what you can do with the local ingredients available to us is incredible. And we're so lucky to have so many farmers in the area and food producers.
Yeah, so sustainable food systems has always been really important to me as a chef. I'm from a rural farming community in Southern Ontario. And then when I worked in Toronto for the past 2 decades, it was always part of my ethos when I was building menus to focus on Ontario food. I'm all about like global taste and local flavors. So when I met Tara and she had all these wonderful connections with farmers already, it was like this beautiful open door to like really show off what we can produce in Frontenac, and it's just really exciting.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I know the event is a little while away, but do you have an idea of what you'll be showing folks how to make come September 14th?
Yeah, we have the menu pretty solidified. I'm just working out some kinks, but we're going to be doing some really cool stuff like the Rise Farm is participating, and they have great small fowl, and they also raise rabbits. So we're going to be doing like a smoked jerk chicken, like jerk rabbit with like a nectarine salsa on the side. We're also working with Collective Joy, and they're this amazing microgreen interior farm down in Kingston, and we're using two of their products. We're going to be using microgreens on one of our dishes. We're doing like a lion's mane taco with Mark's mushrooms, but then we're also going to be using their beautiful florals, and we're going to imprint them into some butter shortbread, so everybody gets like a sweet floral treat at the end.
We also have some incredible We also have some incredible food producers too. We have chocolate, we have pickles, we have breads. So you'll be able to sample lots of different food producers in the area. And an event like this would not be complete without some beer and wine tastings too. So we have a local brewery and winery on site. And with your ticket purchase, you get to sample their products as well.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. So is Gather a newer event on a bigger level? Because I know Open Farms, like folks will go visit a farm and figure out what they do there. But it sounds like a lot of people are getting involved in this one.
Yeah, it was really important for us to bring together a lot of farmers for this event. So basically one-stop shopping. You can come to Gather and meet a wide array of farmers and food producers in the area. And each farmer and food producer will be on site the day of to talk about their farms, talk about their products, answer any questions. So it's a great event, whether you're just coming to eat and drink and enjoy and network, or if you're thinking about starting your own little farm or just want to know more about what's available in the area.
Really about food community.
Yeah, for sure. I definitely being very true to the name Gather. That's awesome. Yeah. And I mean, both of you have watched the festival grow over the years and participated in different ways. And I was wondering if you could just get into how it's been to watch the festival go from the weekend to virtual during COVID to back to the weekend to now being this whole month and a half event. And so many people are involved that you can host an event like Gather.
Yeah, I think it's great. I think the team at Frontenac County and the specifically the Open Farm Days team have done a great job at making Open Farm Days really accessible to everybody, all different price points. Some events are free, some are not. You can come to an event like ours and hit a bunch of different farmers at once, go to farmers markets. So it really is, you can get whatever you want at Open Farm Days, which is incredible. So hats off to the team there.
Yeah, they're really putting in a lot of grassroots effort to like spread the word and make it a big thing, which is awesome.
Yeah, for sure. And it's coming up really fast. So how are you guys feeling with the big day approaching so quickly?
I'm definitely excited. I'm also a little nervous, but I think a little nerves is good. Yeah, I think it'll be really great. And I think it's great in my mind. And I don't want to speak for Tara, but I think once we have it in action, it'll be like this beautiful sigh of relief to see everything come to fruition.
Yeah, it's going to be a blast. I'm excited.
That was Tara Williamson and Elisa Corrigan, organizers of the new Gather event for Open Farm Days this year. Gather will be taking place on September 14th from 3 to 7 p.m. This has been Christina Laurie with CFRC News on this year's Open Farm Days event continuing through to the end of September. More details are available at openfarms.ca.
Thank you, Chris. Coming up next is CFRC's Sports Report. This is Jesse Bell from the CFRC Sports Desk, and this is your sports report for Monday, September 9th, 2024. The Queens Gaels tallied the 499th win in program history on Saturday with a decisive 52-19 victory over the York University Lions. The Gaels drew first blood with a 13-yard completion from Alex Vreakin to Nathan Falcone to take an early 7-0 lead. The Gaels would score again, but 4 minutes later as Silas Hubert recovered a fumble and took it back for 6 points. And at the end of the first quarter, Ian St. Arnaud with one of the rarest plays in college football, a 119-yard missed field goal return to put the Gaels up 21-0 early. Windsor would get on the board with a rouge and two safeties, making it 21-5. And right before halftime, Windsor would make it a 21-12 deficit following an Alfred Olay 36-yard touchdown. Tyler Mullen would put a field goal up at the last minute to give the Gaels a 24-12 lead heading into the second half. And the second half was all Gaels, as Jared Kasari put them up 31-12 with a 3-yard touchdown run. Nathan Falcone got his second touchdown of the game from Alex Vreakin, a 15-yard pass late in the third quarter. And right at the end of the third quarter, Ian St. Arnaud, lightning struck twice as he returned his second 119-yard missed field goal return of the game to put the Gaels up 45-12. York would score late, but Queens actually got the last points of the ball game as first-year running back Jaden Gersey McDonald on his first career carry took it 52 yards to the end zone to give Queens the decisive 52-19 scoreline. The Gales are in action looking for Win 500 this upcoming Saturday, September 14th. They will be on the road in Ottawa to play the Gigis, and CFRC will be there live. For more information on that game, please check out the following promo. Over the last three seasons, the Queens Gales have had the Ottawa Gigis number. These teams have played seven times since 2021, and Queens has walked away victorious on all seven occasions. For each of the last 3 years, Ottawa's season has ended at Richardson Memorial Stadium. But with every game played, the margin of victory gets tighter and tighter. In 2023, the Gales won their two matchups by 7 total points. On Saturday, September 14th, the two Titans of the OUA East rekindle their rivalry once more as the Gales make the short trip up the 416 to play the Gigis in Ottawa. Will the Gales make it an elite 8 in a row, or will the Gigis finally snap their post-pandemic losing streak? Tune in to CFRC 101.9 FM at 2:45 for the pregame show ahead of the 3 p.m. kickoff. We hope to see you then. And now over to Dinah Jansen for the community concert and events calendar and the traffic report for the Kingston region.
And that wraps it up for concerts. Now over to community events for this week. On September 9th, join the Kingston Writers Fest Reading Challenge by reading books on the KWF reading list and be entered into contests to get tickets to see authors in person at the upcoming festival. Learn more on the KWF website. Also on September 9th, Dr. Stephen Maynard of the History Department will give a talk at the Banbury Center on the People's History at Queens as part of Oberg Kingston's Alt Frosh event series starting at 6 p.m. Also at 6 p.m. on the 9th, you can enjoy free summer swing dancing at the Newlands Pavilion gazebo by Murney Tower. The Brass and One-Eyed Jacks will also host their weekly trivia game starting at 7 and 7:45 respectively. On Tuesday, September 10th, Urban Sketchers will do another meetup to do sketching at Churchill Park from 4:30 to 6 p.m. Also on Tuesday, Kingston Frontenac Public Library Wright Crescent will host an Improving Your Digital Presence session facilitated by KEDCO from noon to 1 p.m. On Tuesday, September 3rd, you can also grab your runners and head over to Lululemon downtown at 5:30 p.m. for a weekly fun run. Jog, mingle, and have fun. The run is for all ages and abilities. On Wednesday, September 11th, head over to the Rideau Heights Community Center for the Fresh Food Market pop-up featuring fresh, healthy, and affordable food options from 2 to 5 p.m. Also on Tuesday, the Central Branch of the Kingston Frontenac Public Library will host Cafe Franglish, where folks can enjoy a free opportunity to practice conversation in English and French over a cup of coffee. On Wednesday night, AKA Autonomous Social Center will host Taqwa Core, The Birth of Punk Islam film screening for free from 6:30 to 8 p.m. Something in the Water Brewing and Daft Brewing will also host their trivia night starting at 7 p.m. and One-Eyed Jacks will host North End Board Games Night for free starting at 7. On Thursday, September 12th, Kingston Community Health Centers will host a senior social group for folks ages 55 plus from 9:30 to 11:30 a.m. Also on Thursday, head over with your runners to Runner's Choice for the weekly Out in Front running group for 2S LGBTQ plus runners ready to run at 6:15 p.m. for 5 to 6 kilometers, followed by a post-run social. On Friday, September 13th, the YMCA will host its fresh food pop-up market featuring healthy food options that won't break the bank. And on the 13th, Skeleton Park Arts Festival will host a mystery movie screening at McBurney Park, a free family-friendly event starting at 7 p.m. At 8 p.m. at the Mansion, you can also enjoy the Cringe Night drag show hosted by Bewitched and featuring the talents of Simone Says, Josephine J, Morgan Morbid, Universe, and Annihilation. Tickets are $10 online and $15 at the door. On Saturday, September 14th, the Kingston Public Market runs from 8:30 to 4 p.m. in Springer Market Square. Also on Saturday, Daughters General Store will host a vegan brunch takeover featuring Toronto's Sausage Party and Ottawa's Little Joe Berries from 11 to 1:30. At 3 p.m. on Saturday, the Tet Center will host a beginner's workshop on Madhubani Indian folk art. The admission is $25. Also on Saturday, St. Luke's Church will host a Scottish Country Dance in Cayley, a free event starting at 7 p.m. And on Sunday, September 15th, get up early and head over to Runner's Choice for an early morning long run starting at 8:30 a.m. And finally, the Memorial Center Farmers Market will take place from 9 to 2 p.m. featuring food, artisanal crafts, and music. Have a concert or event in the Kingston area that you would like us to cover on our website and news programming? Contact us today via cfrc.ca. And that wraps it up for concerts. Now over to community events for this week. On September 9th, join the Kingston Writers Fest Reading Challenge by reading books on the KWF reading list and be entered into contests to get tickets to see authors in person at the upcoming festival. Learn more on the KWF website. Also on September 9th, Dr. Stephen Maynard of the History Department will give a talk at the Banbury Centre on the People's History at Queen's as part of OPERG Kingston's Alt Frosh event series starting at 6 p.m. Also at 6 p.m. on the 9th, you can enjoy free summer swing dancing at the Newlands Pavilion Gazebo by Murnie Tower. The Brass and One-Eyed Jacks will also host their weekly trivia game starting at 7 and 7:45 respectively. On Tuesday, September 10th, Urban Sketchers will do another meetup to do sketching at Churchill Park from 4:30 to 6 p.m. Also on Tuesday, Kingston Frontenac Public Library Wright Crescent will host an Improving Your Digital Presence session facilitated by KEDCO from noon to 1 p.m. On Tuesday, September 3rd, you can also grab your runners and head over to Lululemon downtown at 5:30 p.m. for a weekly fun run. Jog, mingle, and have fun. The run is for all ages and abilities. On Wednesday, September 11th, head over to the Rideau Heights Community Center for the Fresh Food Market pop-up featuring fresh, healthy, and affordable food options from 2 to 5 p.m. Also on Tuesday, the Central Branch of the Kingston Frontenac Public Library will host Cafe Franglish, where folks can enjoy a free opportunity to practice conversation in English and French over a cup of coffee. On Wednesday night, AKA Autonomous Social Center will host Taqwa Khor, the Birth of Punk Islam film screening for free from 6:30 to 8 p.m. Something in the Water Brewing and Daft Brewing will also host their trivia night starting at 7 p.m. and One-Eyed Jacks will host North End Board Games Night for free starting at 7. On Thursday, September 12th, Kingston Community Health Centers will host a senior social group for folks ages 55 plus from 9:30 to 11:30 a.m. Also on Thursday, head over with your runners to Runner's Choice for the weekly Out in Front running group for 2SLGBTQ+ runners ready to run at 6:15 p.m. for 5 to 6 kilometers, followed by a post-run social. On Friday, September 13th, the YMCA will host its fresh food pop-up market featuring healthy food options that won't break the bank. And on the 13th, Skellig Park Arts Festival will host a mystery movie screening at McBurney Park, a free family-friendly event starting at 7 p.m. At 8 p.m. at the Mansion, you can also enjoy the Cringe Night Drag Show hosted by Bewitched and featuring the talents of Simone Says, Josephine J, Morgan Morbid, Universe, and Annihilation. Tickets are $10 online and $15 at the door. On Saturday, September 14th, the Kingston Public Market runs from 8:30 to 4 p.m. in Springer Market Square. Also on Saturday, Daughters General Store will host a vegan brunch takeover featuring Toronto's Sausage Party and Ottawa's Little Joe Berries from 11 to 1:30. At 3 p.m. on Saturday, the Tet Center will host a beginner's workshop on Madhubani Indian folk art. The admission is $25. Also on Saturday, St. Luke's Church will host a Scottish Country Dance in Cayley, a free event starting at 7 p.m. And on Sunday, September 15th, get up early and head over to Runner's Choice for an early morning long run starting at 8:30 a.m. And finally, the Memorial Center Farmers Market will take place from 9 to 2 p.m. featuring food, artisanal crafts, and music. Have a concert or event in the Kingston area that you would like us to cover on our website and news programming? Contact us today via cfrc.ca. And now it's time for the CFRC Weekly Traffic Report. Motorists are advised that pavement rehabilitations will continue to take place along Highway 401 overnight between Westbrook Road to beyond Highway 15 overpass and on the Sir John A. MacDonald overpass. This work will consist of various lane and ramp closures over the next several months. Public Services and Procurement Canada continues to advise users that the LaSalle Causeway is still fully closed to motorists, cyclists, and pedestrians until further notice. For local road closures, Albert Street from Princess to 486 Albert will be closed until December 31st to accommodate construction activity and staging. Edwin Street from Collins Bay to Waverly will be closed until September 18th for the removal and reinstatement of asphalt. Hillcrest Avenue from King's Court to 7th is closed until August 31st for buried infrastructure replacement. The road will be open to local traffic. King's Court Avenue from Hillcrest to Kirkpatrick is closed until November 15th to accommodate a water main replacement. King Street from Place d'Armes to the north end of King is closed until September 30th for construction of new storm and road beds, and the road will be open to local traffic. Sydenham Street from Princess to Queen is closed until September 27th for downtown Kingston BIA activations. Union Street from Victoria to Albert is currently closed for sewer separation and road rehabilitation work. University Avenue from Union to Earl is closed for construction related to activity at the Queen's John Deutsch University Center. And Wellington Street from Earl de Gore is closed until September 10th for new water service installation. For other delays, Aberdeen Street from Johnson to Earl, folks can expect delays and closures along Aberdeen for a contractor to complete road and sewer reconstruction. Bay Ridge Drive from Princess to Taylor Kidd can expect delays while a contractor begins phase two of the Bay Ridge Drive Active Transportation Upgrades Project. Collins Bay Road from Prince Charles and Edwin to Princess, folks can expect delays while a contractor completes phase two of the Princess and Collins Bay Active Transportation Improvements. Gardner's Road at Centennial and Creekford expect delays while a contractor completes intersection widening, traffic signal upgrades, and cycling and pedestrian improvements. And Highway 2 from Abbeydon to St. Lawrence expect delays there to complete enhanced flood protection of Abbeydon Road, Highway 2, and St. Lawrence Avenue. And continued notice of a parking disruption at the Hanson Memorial parking structure where its restoration project is now currently underway. Motorists are advised that there is parking availability at the Chown Memorial and Robert Bruce Memorial parking garages in the two adjacent blocks to the west of the Hanson Memorial parking structure.
This is Jesse Bell with your Environment Canada weather report for the Kingston region. Starting off with Monday, September 9th, it was chilly and cloudy during the day with a chance of rain and thunder showers into the evening and afternoon, 60% chance of precipitation, dropping down to 7 degrees overnight. Tuesday, September 10th, we're going to see a daytime high of 21 degrees and it will be sunny, dropping down to 11 overnight. We start to get to the warmer temperatures around midweek as Wednesday, September 11th will be a beautiful sunny day, a high of 25, dropping down to 14 overnight. Thursday, September 12th, sunny with a high of 26, dropping down to 14 overnight. Friday, September 13th, it will be 26 with a mix of sun and cloud. And moving into the weekend, Saturday, September 14th, a high of 26, and Sunday, September 15th, a high of 25 with a 30% chance of precipitation.
Thank you for tuning in to CFRC's local news programming. To revisit episodes of Today in YGK and hear more from some of our guests, be sure to head to our podcast network at podcast.cfrc.ca. Today in YGK is brought to you by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What Will I Wear, 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. Be sure to stay tuned for more CFRC programming coming up next.
What'll I Wear offers the best in vintage, funky, one-of-a-kind treasures, clothing, accessories, and a fabulous selection of jewels, vintage and new. Find the cutest purse, the most dashing of hats and sunglasses, everything to complete your individual look. What'll I Wear has it all. They can dress you from top to bottom. Find your new fashion fave at What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street in Kingston. Visit their new location and follow them on Facebook to keep up to date with what's in store at What'll I Wear. Thank you for listening to this podcast produced at CFRC 101.9 FM at Queen's University, situated on the traditional territory of the Anishinaabe and Haudenosaunee peoples, and brought to you by the generous support of the Faculty of Engineering and Applied Science.